in the middle of Torah Samavav, paragraph Gimel. We're talking about how to reach a state of emes. Because we said when a person is in a state of emes, he's able to draw down the Alma Da'ati, the world to come, into the world now. And in the world to come, what happens is that in the judgment day of the world to come, all the Rishayim get judged by Hashem. And they see the greatest of the Tzaddikim and the Kesherim, the people that are kosher people. And when that day comes, everyone's going to be able to reach Shlemus HaDibur, a completion in their speech, and call out to Hashem. And that, so we're saying that we don't have to wait till that time to get to that level. We can do it now. The way to do it now is getting to a state of emes. So what's emes? As you said, it's getting rid of all your pnias, all your ulterior motives in front of other people, because you need other people for honor, for money. A person feels that since he needs people for those things, and then he has to impress them or do this, that, in order to get it out of them. But really, it's only the truth is only Hashem. So where, and he says, where do you see this? You see this when people daven with other people, when a minyan. So that you start doing certain things that make it look like you have a lot of kavana or things like that. And that's a form of sheker. Okay, so the first level is when a person actually does it. And then he's in a state of sheker. And the second level is when a person, he thinks about doing it, but he says, no, I can't bring myself to actually do that. And then he basically goes back and forth in his thoughts over and over again until he actually comes up with a great reason why he actually should do it. And that's when you take sheker and you clothe it in emes, and you think you're in a state of emes, but it's actually a great sheker, okay? And that's what we're saying yesterday, okay? Let's go over that again. It says, v'yesh mi shu'ish kasher tzat. There are those that are a little bit kosher. Ve'yare et Hashem b'miktzat. He fears Hashem a little bit. Mitvayesh be'enav la'asot sheker meguna b'tfilato b'shvil acherim. And he's embarrassed to do a complete sheker in front of other people. U'mitkaven itpalel be'emet. And he wants to pray in a true way. Avala emet u'arbe mo'od yoter midai. But emes is a very, very high level to reach. It's too much for where he's holding. Gamzein or emet, and where he's holding is not true. Ki lo nimtzar be emet, because he's not in a state of a lot of emes. Ki emet hu rak echad. The truth is, there's only one, as it says in another place. Dahinu mechamat shehu bosh be'enei atzmo litpale b'sher gamur kanal. But since this person only has a little bit of emes, therefore, because of his little bit of emes, he's embarrassed to pray in such a way to make all these different pniyot. Alken urotzeh lechasot et shesheker. He wants to hide at the sheker. Ulehalbish a sheker be'emes, and then clothe the sheker in emes. Dahinu lemashal, for example, shechafetz lasot ezut tnuah o mach machaat kaf. He wants to do some type of move or clap bishvil acher for another person. Aval hu mitvayesh bezeh sheyaseh sheker b'tfilato bishvil b'nei adam. But he's embarrassed that he's going to be sheker and his tefillah for other people. Alken hu gonev da'at atzmo. So what does he do? He'll steal his own mind, his own da'as. Mesaviv lo yetzer hara sevubim b'machshavato. The yetzer hara goes in circles in his brain. Ad shenit galgel adavar b'machshavato shehu tzarich be'emet la'asot tznua zu b'tfilato. He actually comes to a conclusion that he has to do this. It's actually good for him, and this is the truth of what he needs to do. Ola kot kaf el kaf, either to hit hand to hand. Tainu shu motzi la'atzmo eze emet shu tzirich lasot tota. Hatto b'shvil oto emet. He has some reason why he actually has to do it, for this truth that he has to do it. Nimta shu mechase sheker be'emet. So that's when a person takes sheker and closes it in emes. Nimta yesh lahar be'emet or temidai. So it looks like he has a lot of emes in what he's doing. Okay, now this thing is something that happened in many different areas in a person's avodas Hashem. A person has to constantly be learning the sfarim to wake himself up to, let's say, certain things that he fell into, that he got tricked into, not to be like in a state of sleep. Okay, like one of the examples I found in myself is like, let's say I would spend time learning more like excessively before you did shacharis, and then it ended up turning into laziness. And I was thinking that it was a great thing I was doing, but I actually realized I have to work on my zrizus first. And then once I fix my zrizus, I could do that better. Because if not, I'm just like slow. And like I know what it's like to be more zrizus in the morning. That's how, that's like the shahr rishon to come into kedusha. So it's like a taking sheker and calling it emes, and then you think that it's a lot of emes, but it's sometimes a sheker. It's like emes, though, you have to watch yourself on where you're holding, like, and take good accounting of it to like change basically.
What's
zrizus means alacrity. It says in the, there's a brace of Minchas Ben Yair that the Ramchal Sefer is based off of there, of Mesilat Yesharim. He says the first gate a person has to get through in order to come into Kedusha is Zrizus. It's like number one.
First gate to come
into the Kedusha. In Kedusha in general, you have to have Zrizus.
Zrizus is like a productivity.
It means alacrity, openness of heart, and simcha all at one time.
Alacrity
means speed, like you do something like with kavana, you right. Know where you're going, direction.
Like focus.
Focus. Yeah.
Joy
and openness of heart. That's what Zrizus is.
Like, that's like being in the zone or the flow.
Yeah, that's what you need. That's like that's number one thing that you need to get into Kedusha. That's wow. What you need. That's what he says.
It's like the Kung Fu masters where they move so fast but they're so calm when they do it.
Wait, right, you get into certain it comes sort of like that.
It's open
is
heart.
It?
You have to be open to
yeah, look at art, yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea.
What?
That's the idea of they would come an hour early.
They were already holding on Zeus, so they could spend an hour meditating. It wasn't going to slow them down. It was going to help them go deeper in their kavana and their tefillah.
So then the idea of enclosing, so with Natan and Avihu, what was it that they were enclosing?
The Dove and Avihu?
Yeah, when they were...
They took a klal and they applied it to a prat. The klal was is that when in the basement this everyone's able to give a nedava, a volunteering of how much you want,
right.
And that's like a certain bechina of what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Because when Mashiach comes, it says you're not going to have to be commanded to do the mitzvahs. You're going to want to do it on your own, like a volunteer thing.
Right.
So the base giving to the basement this in such a way was like a klal thing representing what's going to be in the future time. But they said that also applies to the prat, and they did it themselves. They gave their own offering without being told to, without being commanded to from their teacher. So they switched. They were made a mistake in thought. And then,
so what was
there's many reasons.
So
for
what was their intention? What was enclosed in it?
They said we want to live already times of Mashiach, where you don't have to be commanded to do something. So we're going to do that right now.
Uh-huh.
But the halacha, you can't do that now. You got to go for your teacher. Okay. Lots and lots of things in Torah that when Mashiach comes, things are going to be different. So for people are already trying to live that now. But you can't live all those things now. That's not what... You can't do it.
So with the Adam and Chava, when they ate from
that's exactly
the same thing. That example.
They had to wait until Shabbos and then they came from the tree. And they didn't wait. So there's a Likutei Halachos where it talks about this whole thing of the Isser of... what do you call it? Lo Tachmod. Not to desire something that's not yours.
But Chava was tricked.
Yeah, but it says over there basically that when a person wants something that's not theirs, it's actually because their soul actually needs that thing. But the main thing is you have to wait for it when the time is each thing its own thing. Yeah, same thing. It's you have to wait for the time and the ikar time for getting that those sparks of that thing that your soul is there for is actually when Mashiach comes. Because until then. You're not going to be really get like you really. What do you really want? You want your soul to experience the highest form of pleasure, which is closer to Hashem. That's really bottom line. And all those things that you desire is an expression of you experiencing that, and you want that now. But most things you got to wait for. That's just how it is.
Okay, so it's following the system, whatever it is. Even though this might not make sense, or
well, whatever the halakha is, that moment. That's what they say is not what your own idea is of it. Because usually, if a person makes his own idea, it's usually comes out false. That's what it comes down to, okay? Now, where are we here? So this is what you take sheker and you put in emes and you think it's a lot of emes, but it's actually a lot of sheker, okay? Common situation. Ki ikar emet eino rak echad. The main truth is that there's only one. There's only Hashem. That's it. That's the truth. There's only one. Okay? Dehaino litpalel be'emet lamitu b'shvil Hashem itbarach levaro. To pray in a true way for Hashem alone. But this truth of sheker is a lot. There's many types of ways to enclose sheker into emes. Like he pushes, the emes overrides the sheker, but the sheker is still there. So since a person needs the creatures, Sha'az, they mean the other people, Sha'az, Nofelim alav, Ptimiyot Shkarim. So then falls upon him all these different moves and levels of Sheker. Va'azai, Mishene Panav, Kamukvanim. And then his face changes to many different colors. Panav is Emes, which is the Panim, as it says in the Pasuk. Mevakshe Fanecha Yaakov Sela. And it says, Titan Emet Le Yaakov. So Yaakov is Emes, and the face is related to Yaakov. So the face is your Emes. So, Dainu Sha'emet Shalo, your truth, which is your face, Shu Bechinet Panim, Nishtane Le Kamukvanim. It changes to many, to different colors. Dainu Shesh Lo Kama Mine Emes. A person has a couple different types of Emes. Shemalbishbo HaSheker, in which he encloses his Sheker into. Okay, this is also the thing when Adam originated from the tree of Etzadas. So what happened was, one of the main parts of confusion came in a person's Koach HaMedame, as many Sfarim. Koach HaMedame is his power of imagination. So his imagination is infused with good and bad. So therefore, usually when a person tries to make up his own thing, Gemara says, you cannot make up your own Gzerah Shava. What's a Gzerah Shava? It's basically when you see two verses that have the same words, so you see the context transfers. So it's very easy logically to find, oh, this context is like this, this is like this. But all the Gzeirah Shavas were Halacha Moshe Misina, you can't make them up. So that's the same thing. So a person, if he relies on his own understanding to make the connections, he will surely get off the path of truth.
So if you see something, should you just ask a rabbi?
Well, you could, like what? Depends on what. If it's within the context of Torah, and you can bring a chiddush, which is a great thing. But if you try, usually the question is, what comes out of it? There was one person, I forget who it was, that he was very smart or whatever, and he came to this conclusion that in Chutz Arts you don't need beards because it's not as holy as Israel. So obviously, like a false conclusion. But that's how he came to like such a great conclusion from his great understanding. But it was a false conclusion. Okay, it doesn't say that in halacha. No. Not like a posek. He was Kulo Emes, or Moshe was Kulo Emes. He knew halacha fully. You know? Right.
Definitely bears.
What did you say?
So when Moshe saw the burning bush, based on this idea that if the image was damaged,
yeah,
then how come when Moshe saw whatever he saw, why didn't it, you know, how did he know that he was really seeing what he was seeing if the image was damaged?
When the image was, what image?
You said that when the
eighth imagination.
Image, imagination. So in the context of what he's saying, maybe this was his imagination.
God appears to you and tells you, I am Hashem, then...
But that happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So people have a lot of visions and stuff like that. So the question is, let's say this person says he has all these visions, then you go into his house and you see how bad all his mitzvahs are. So you probably can't trust his visions, okay? And if you see someone with all these visions and they don't keep halacha properly, well, those visions are probably, could be those visions are true, but they're not coming from true sources, because it says, in the Kitvei Arizal, Shar Ruach HaKodesh, it says every person every person's Ruach HaKodesh is dependent upon how much he's emes with Torah. I mean, the more Torah you know, the purer Ruach HaKodesh comes. And the Sefer Tana Devei Eliyahu, he says any person on the earth, even a goy, even a shivcha, could get a Ruach HaKodesh. So everyone could have a connection to the higher realms. The question is, how pure is your connection and what's coming down? So that has to do with how much a person's in line with the truth of Torah. That's the bottom line. So the more you're in line with the Torah, then the connection you have in your Ruach Kodesh could be more clear in what comes down. And if you're not in line in Torah, then usually what happens is it could be a lot of mixture of things. So a person gets high information, and then he says, oh my gosh, they're revealing to these. And then they give him false information, and usually what happens is that it makes the person feel like he's special, and he actually gets arrogant because of it, but he doesn't keep halacha properly, or this, so it's all mixed up, so you can't rely on it fully.
Okay, you understand? So there's a balance.
Yeah, and also, okay, so now, Da'ainu shemotzi la'atzmo emet shekamato b'shvil kach. He says, I'm emes because I have this intention. Or b'shvil kach, or I'm doing it for this. Nimtzeh shenishtaneh panim el shehu emes, whose face, which is the emes, changes. The kamakvani in different colors, different types. Ke'ikar emet eno el echa. The true emes is only, there's only one. And that's what it means in the Tehillim. It says, Ahalala Hashem b'chayai. I'll praise Hashem in my life.
There could be a reason why you're giving different faces to different personalities. You try to connect with that person.
Yeah, that's different, yeah.
You talk to him in a certain way, in a different...
That's a connect to him, not in terms of you needing to receive from them. You need to... If you're the mashpia, like we see in the story of the Baal Tefillah, every time you talk to a businessman, you change the business clothes. You talk to this person, changing his clothes. It always like form for the person. So you know, so no one knew who he was. But every time you think he's one of your, you think he's like one of you. But he's actually just trying to help you, but by changing into your clothing, which means either in speech or in actual
like
clothing, then you could affect it in deeper ways. Right. Okay, because you pretend to be like one of them. So like, oh, he's like one of me. And then he tells you something. You gotta listen to him. Okay, that's what he did. So now, Hayu Kishain Nitzach Lebriya. Okay. It says, I praise Hashem with my life. That's when a person is not in a state of need of other people. And that's what it means. Chayai, my life. Hainu, she'ani chay mechayim shalai. I'm living my own life. She'ein no nitzach lechilichyut shum adam. I don't need the life force of any other person. Ki'an nitzach lebriot chayav en chayim. The Gemara says, in Beitza, someone who needs other people, his life is not life. Hainu, she'einu chayim shalot. Meaning it's not your life. You're living other people's lives. Now, just a side point, it does say in Chaim Oran that he said that Rabbi Nachman said, "I don't understand when people say, don't bring me to presence of other men, like you say in the benching of all these different things." Yeah, so he says he sees all these people that you know they're all their parnassas just from other people. So. And they're saying, don't bring me to present other men. So he says, what's going on? How do you understand it? So he says, there's a big secret in it. A person could get his parnassus from other people, but he doesn't feel needed. He doesn't feel like he needs the other people. And he could be in such a state where he doesn't feel subjugated to them, and then it's not, even though it's like actually coming through them, which, and that's like majority of people get money through other people, whatever. But you're not feeling subjugated to them. That's the difference.
Yeah, you don't feel something.
Doesn't mean you have to like find treasure chests in your backyard every 2 weeks to live.
But there's a person can also delude himself that he's not subjugated. If a person
in a real way,
the government, whether you like it or not, you're subjugated to the government.
At a certain level, yeah.
You can't help me.
It's true.
Anybody who receives money from the government will be on some
level. You have something spiritual hashpa from the thing, yeah, for sure. Yeah, but if you end up paying tax later on, it's part of the system, so it's like...
In a sense, I think like in a practical way, it's knowing your value and doing things that you're passionate about and good at.
For sure, that's
how... Because if you do so, like a top developer, beautiful, he doesn't have that job, cool, I'll go to another job.
Yeah, everyone needs him.
I'm not dependent on you.
Everyone needs him.
You'll give me my paycheck, but you need me.
Yeah, he's the boss because he is the one that has the goods to offer.
Well, I heard an interesting shiur about, like, from a rabbi, something about, like, in business, everybody should view themselves as being an independent corporation.
It's true.
Like, even when somebody hires you, you say, well, I am an independent consultant who has the skills of a fry cook. Right? Like, I'm an independent fry cook. Yeah.
Like,
hire me.
Like a custodian artist.
Or a dishwasher.
I'm a professional custodian artist.
You view yourself like that, then you can dictate your own salary. It doesn't have to deal
freelance dishwasher.
It doesn't have to deal with,
that's good.
They can say, okay, well, this is how much a job they
have. Right.
This is how much my services require. If you still want to hire me, then
Yeah, not to be subjugated to the other person. Right. That's what it means.
You're your own boss.
Yeah, your own boss.
Right.
So.
And as a call in the world, when you know your worth, other people start to know it as well.
It's true. And also when you go towards those things that show your worth in terms of the world, because the Gemara in Erechin says there's two levels of worth. There's your essential worth as a person, and then there's also your worth in the shuk, in the marketplace. So in these things, a person has to go with what's his shuk in the marketplace, which what his skills are, whatever, what his talents are, and go with that. But at the same time, every person has an essential value that's nothing to do with the shuk value.
But that's like idealistic sometimes, because if you have a job and you work in a corporation, you know, whatever it is, Wall Street, whatever it is, you're obligated to whatever it is that they tell you.
Yeah, you're their slave. You sign a contract, you're a slave.
Exactly.
It's true, you've signed into the deal because they're giving you money for it.
So is that a problem?
It's okay. It's a mutar.
So in Cali, I work on Wall Street, and I just I'm an independent consultant.
Looking about this, the Rabbeinu Towns and Sfat working on Wall Street.
I worked here for 15 years, and I was told just what to do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But if you let's say your skills, you became very smart in the market, and you knew certain strategies that no one knew, then you become obviously huge valuable. Like my mother-in-law knows someone who's a really big trader, whatever, billionaire guy. He has a book on all his secrets of training. He sells it for like $900 for a book. Because obviously it's worth it, you know. In that, so you became like more valuable in that place. So anyway, but the point is, like, there's another point in Samach Vav Parshat Ki Tavo. Rabbi Rishab explains there's two madregas. There's a madrega of Lechemin Haaretz, and there's also Lechemin Hashamayim, okay? So Lechemin Haaretz is when a person has to do something within the world, and he has to do things according to the rules of the world and basically push himself until he becomes really good at something. He has to like melt into it in order for him to receive the bracha from it. But then there's also Lechemin Hashamayim, where it's not only Shem Elokim, it's Shem Havaya and Elokim, and a person's, you know, you become more directly only under Hashem. And I think this is like what he's referring to here. Even if you have a job, a certain Bechina, they could be directly under Hashem. And we're going to talk about how to do it. The first thing is coming to Emes. Go to Kolo. That's the ultimate way in Israel. Like all these people in Kolo. Got 10 kids in Kolo. And they're like, you know, nothing makes sense. But they're like, they're still in Kolo. You know, it's like how they do it.
The Rebbe Rayantz, the Rebbe, gives a fantastic way. He says a person should daven slowly and learn until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and should have the attitude like he's being supported by a rich father-in-law. That's a businessman.
Right.
That's the attitude he should get for his business. Everything's taken care of, but he just has to do the minimum, like he's part of the family business.
It's true.
And that's how it should
be. It's actually true. I have a friend who has family in New York, I think, maybe. Williamsburg, a bar park, and that's how they could do it. The guys, they get married and they go into the shul for hours and they pray, and then afterwards they work a little bit in the afternoons. And people see it like that. It's a hard test. Obviously, you need a lot of muna and bitachon to do that, but it could work. But business is different than skills, okay? Because skills you have to be good at. You can't fake like the skills, but the business, yeah, basically there's a bracha on how much you're going to sell, and the bracha could come down easily, which means you don't have to think about sales and marketing all the time. If it doesn't come out easily, you have to constantly think about sales and marketing. As the Mitzvah says in Derech Chaim, the beginning of the introduction. It depends on the situation. Sometimes not. Sometimes Hashem gives, there's a story with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai where the Keli came to him. Where he cut the fence, whatever, and then the tree grew, so the Keli came to him.
Right.
In some cases, you have to make the Keli. Every person's a different situation. You have to see what Shach Bar situation to do.
Is that Tor 70 in the Maran where he says you don't need to move, you don't need to go anywhere for anything to come to you?
Over there, he talks about gravity, which the tzaddik is the gravitational pull.
Right.
And when all the kavod comes from the tzaddik, so if you connect to him, then you're part of the mamshich, the gravitational pull,
right,
like the earth.
It says if you have the bracha, the penosim will chase you.
Yeah, but you can't. Like, you have to see what's required for you to bring down that bracha. Everyone's different.
Abraham was told not to leave his home.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
He didn't say go out to make money. He said, I'm going to bless you with wealth. God said, I'm going to bless you with wealth. He didn't say go and hustle. Even though Pirkei Avos says 18 marriage, 20 hustle. Says that. Wrote it. That's fantastic. So aval b'she'eni nitzach l'bris, when a person is in a state where he feels that he doesn't need other people, he feels independent with Hashem. V'ani chai chayim shalim, I'm living my life. Azai uchal halalo l'itpalel l'fanam v'emet, I could praise Hashem and pray to Him in a true way. As it says, halala Hashem b'chayai daika, I will praise Hashem with my life. Since I'm living my life, now I could praise Hashem. That's what it means. Adam lebriot, olam chashach ba'ado. It says if a person needs other people, he feels the need, as we explained, then his world is darkened.
It's not his life; it's somebody else's.
You're living, so you're a slave to other things. Yeah. Even when a person's in a job, you have to still see it as the shachapatis, like it says in the sefer of Rabbeinu Bachaya and Shar B'Tachon. He explains different circumstances, situations where person's getting his pranas from here, and it flows there, and he explains why God sets it up in certain ways to create certain relationships. There's a whole discussion over there about that. So when a person gets the emes, then the evil gets destroyed and fall away. The main concept of the destruction of the evil is in Olam Haba, which Mashiach can come. And that, the reason why they fall is because emes is revealed. When emes is revealed, you can't have sheker in front of emes. It doesn't work, it just falls away. Yeah, but now we're still in a state of the world with that. But a person could reach to, could live in Olam Haba now by doing these things. Sfat emet tikon la'ad, the lips of truth will last forever. Konanta la'ad lo k'tiv ela tikon. Okay, ki la'atid lavo yitgala emet. When Mashiach comes, emes will be revealed. As I say to say, in the Zohar, as val yedei emet sheyitgala la'atid, through the emes is going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. Al yedei ze yeh mapat v'shrim, the evil people will fall down, as it says in the Pasuk. He will pay to his enemies, to their face, to destroy them. So panav, to their face, represents emes, as we explained. That through this, mishalem lesonav, will pay these enemies. Umaavidan min haolam, will remove them from the earth. As the Zohar Kaddish says. The Gemara says in Erevin, Sheikh, Kiv yachol hem kemasa al panav kiapanim shehu b'chinat emet shel Hashem itbarach. It says basically as if these people are considered like a weight on Hashem's face, because the face, which is the emes of Hashem, ein yachol lizbol et rishayim, cannot take the rishayim. V'kishkele b'chinat apanim, when Hashem's face will be revealed, which is emes. Then the Rishayim could fall away. And that's how they'll be destroyed when Mashiach comes. Because then the truth will be revealed. Like Hashem's face like will be like revealed to the earth. And that's the Emes, and then all the Rishayim will fall. When a person comes to Emes in this world, then his face can be revealed. The panim can be revealed. Then he could draw down Olam Haba into this world. And then the sheker and the evil things fall away by revealing emes in this world. As it will be when Mashiach comes. And through that, you're able to come to the completion of the letters of speech. Like when Mashiach will come, as it says, Safa Brura, a clear speech, betuch olam azen, to this world. Ki b'chinat Safa Brura sh'naseh al yedei mapalatam. This clear speech, clear language, will come through their destruction of the evil. Sh'al yedei zeh nitapchin kulam el Hashem itbarach. Through this, everyone will turn towards Hashem. Zeh b'chinat daber davar, ha'ne'amar b'shabbat. We learned this actually the first day. When you speak the matters, on Shabbos you have to change your speech. You have to speak holy things. So that's the concept of Olam Haba, that you change your speech. You start speaking holy things. It's a new language. You have to draw down the speech of Shabbat, the future world, into the speech of this world, in order to complete the Dibur in this world. The main concept of a complete speech is Shabbos. As it says in the Gemara, Shlo yeh diburecha shel Shabbat ki diburecha shel chol. That your words in Shabbos should not be the words like the words on the week.
I have a question.
Yeah.
We're learning in Shabbat now that creative action. The world was created with speech.
With speech, yeah.
So if we're created in God's image, when we speak, we're creating. So
it's true.
If we're speaking on Shabbat, and it's
a yetzira, right?
Can't do that.
But the whole world elevates. Actually, the sages say that we really shouldn't speak on Shabbat. It should be a tiny dibra. But they saw that people couldn't handle it, so they allowed you to speak. So you're right. But it also says that the world elevates to Hashem's thought. So even the speech you have in Shabbos is still on an elevated plane. It's you're in machshava levels. That's why it says. That's why in the what's it called? in the Birkat Kriyat Shema, it goes in its alphabetical order, it's like double. I think it's like this Aleph and Aleph Bet Bet. I think it's the, I saw it one time in some Chassidus that it says since elevates on a higher level, you're going from thought, to, you're going from speech to thought. I forget the details of it.
So what about Kriyat Shema?
Not in Kriyat Shema, I'm saying in the Birkat Kriyat Shema. The El Baruch Adol Deah. There's another one, I forget the exact word, but it explained that you're going to like a new level of speech, basically. I forgot the details of it, anyways. But really, well, yeah, the sages say you shouldn't speak on Shabbos, but no one was able to handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Right, Dalit. There's a word on it, I forget what it said. But
so the original thing was don't speak on Shabbat.
Yeah, there was such a thing not to speak on Shabbat.
Wow, which time period?
I guess that when this what in Tosfos? Times of Tosfos, yeah.
That's
Tosfos
day.
So how can you learn Torah on Shabbat?
Not speak. That's Torah. Learn Torah, you get 1,000 times.
How you can pass the salt?
Sichas Chulin.
Pass salt.
On Shabbat.
You plan before how are you going to do it, so you don't have to ask.
You can point to it.
Do
you see the
rest of the okay, so it's like this.
No, it actually says, sorry. In Tosfos, it says, Bekoshi Yitir Talmud Torah.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's right. I remember now.
When difficulty, they allowed learning Torah.
They allowed saying Torah. Bekoshi, they allowed saying Torah.
With difficulty,
meaning that they didn't actually want to do it, but they allowed it.
They allowed saying Torah. Okay, wow, interesting.
And that's what happens, is that, you know, it depends on who you're competing with.
As to what you'll
be able to do and what you won't be able to do.
Right. Okay,
yeah, the Alter Rebbe was very strict on Rosh Hashanah, not to speak.
Yeah. Rosh Hashanah. Sure, yeah. Kibbutz Shabbos is Shneim Zadibor. Shabbos is the completion of speech. Kibbutz Shabbos is Bechinat Olam Haba, which is Olam Haba. But Tzorich Lamshich Dibor Shal Shabbat Tocha Dibor Shal Chol. You have to draw down the speech on Shabbat into the speech of the week, and that's what it says. Kel havaya b'tzira. Sh'al yidei b'chinat kel. Through kel, shu b'chinat emet, which is emet, as it says, lo ish el vikazev. Not the man who will be kozev, which means deceitful. So it's the opposite of deceitful is truthful. Shu b'chinat Yaakov. The man who is not deceitful is Yaakov. What does it say to say?
Minayin shekara kodesh
baruch
hu. Is God a man that he can be deceitful?
Oh, right. So Yaakov represents Emes, and it says, from where do we know that Hashem called Yaakov Kel? As it says, Veikra lo Kel Elokei. Ki Yaakov b'chinat Emes. Yaakov represents Emes.
And the question is, Yaakov called him Kel Elokim. Since there's no punctuation, one of the ways of teaching is Veikra lo Kel. That Kel called him Elokim, meaning Yaakov is Kel, and called Hashem Elokim. That's indeed in Emes Yaakov. Yaakov is Emes, so
yeah.
Kel is the name that embodies that Emes.
Ah, nice. Ze ha'emes shehu b'chinat alma da'ati. So this is the truth, which is the future world, talui b'parnasa, which is dependent on a person's parnasa. Why? Ki kishyesh lo parnasa v'ein yitzach lebrios. When a person has parnasa, he doesn't need brios. You could pray in a true way. Praiseworthy that the God of Jacob is in your help. Sivra, you can rely on Hashem your God. When you're relying on Hashem, you don't need other people. Azai. Kel Yaakov Mezo, and then the God of Jacob is in your help. Kel Yaakov represents Emes, as we explained. So when a person zocher to draw down the future world, which is Emes, which is Panim, into this world, then the evil people, the evil things get destroyed. This is when you take Havaya and you do a Milui with Hay. Meaning, when you write the word hey, you write hey. Okay, so you go write hey, you go write hey aleph. So you write it with hey. Ki hey represents shilum sachar, paying you for your reward, as it says in the sages say. It says hege vahi. It says vahi is it shilum sachar the rishaim b'olam haba. It says the word he, like which is hey, is the paying of the reward of the rishaim in the world to come.
But that vahi is heyyud.
Yeah, but that's
so. So hey, are we saying that havaya with the mili of hey is mishalim schar?
Oh,
and that pasuk spells it heyud.
It's a good. I think I'm. But I think you're just saying it's the concept of hey in general.
Hey,
yeah, I think
is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says hey. V'zebchinat kel havaya. Dahainu kel shebchinat emes. Kel represents emes shal yodo nasis shilum sachar l'rishayim. That through this you're going to pay back the reward for the rishayim. Shehu b'chinat havaya b'miluhein, which is havaya with the feeling with the haze, as we explained. Tzarech lamshich b'toch olam hazeh, you have to draw it down to this world. Shehu b'chinat v'daber davar, speak, you shall surely speak, lamshich dibor shal Shabbat b'toch yimei hachol, to draw down the speech of Shabbos into the weekday, which is the concept of yitzira. It says, yamim yitzaru v'lo echad b'ahem. The weekdays represent Yetzirah, which means malachas. As we explained, malachas are Yetzirahs, right? I remember that first top of the thing. Kesh'ein echad b'hem shu'b'chinat Shabbat, when you don't have Shabbos in them. V'tzerich lemshich le'b'chinat Yetzirah, shu'hu b'chinat yemei achol, el b'chinat kel havaya, shu'b'chinat amad ati, b'chinat Shabbat. So you have to draw down the Shabbos into the chol. As it says, malchut peh, and through this, you're able to complete the letters of speech. Okay, any questions before we continue on Dalet? Everyone? Okay, we're on paragraph Dalet now. Anyone lost their spot? So it's like this. V'keshe nishlamim oti yoti dibur kanal. When a person completes his speech, tzarich lirot lotzi adibur b'shlemut. Person has to be able to bring the speech out in a complete way. Sometimes you chop up your letters in your throat. And you cannot speak properly. Okay, I want to know a little bit German or Yiddish.
Hezrik,
yeah, like
horse.
It means horse?
Yeah.
What? Not
oh, like a horse way of saying something. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Hezrik, you know German. Hezrik.
Hezrik Kimmelow.
Hezrik. Hezrik. But Tzarich Lirot Lotzi Adibur Mimetzar Gaon. You have to take this speech out of the confined space of your throat. Shukhala the Berbish Limit to speak in a complete way. Dahainu lemshich nekudot eleotiot, to draw down the nekudos, the vowels into the letters. Why? Ki below nekudot if shall edaber shemot. Without the nekudos, you cannot speak any words. As we know, like how are you going to say something without any vowels? You can't, except for hey.
No,
it's the breath. You can go. That's the only one. But it's also a vowel because it's an a sound or u sound. So you can't even say that without vowels. Okay, so va'azai kishemam shichin nekudot eleotiot. So when you bring the nekudos to the letters, umotziin adibur shlemos, and you bring speech into a complete way, azai yicholin laotzi b'koch lepol. Then you're able to bring something from koch to poel. Okay, so just recap: the way to, if someone finds he can't bring something from koch to poel, is because he's living with sheker. So now he has to be emes and just connect only to God Hashem alone, not need other people. And then when he does that, the Rishayim are able to fall away. And through that, he's able to bring down the speech of Shabbos into the speech of weekday. But once now he has a speech, now he has to do it in a complete way. In order to do it in a complete way, he has to be able to use to combine the letters with the Nekudot. And then when...
Really, without the Nekudot, like...
Nothing. It's nothing.
It's Mekutzal. Like, you say base, but there's no expansion.
Correct.
Only with the Nekudot. Bay.
Exactly. Bah. That's the coil. That's the coil, yeah.
Is he talking specifically about a person can't manifest their with what they're trying to do in his throat?
That's how you do it. That's the whole point.
So he's not talking about like he's working with the college, you know, trying to get a parnasa.
No way. He says actually, there's a Torah on Torah Chetanyana. He says when a person only knows Torah, and then he says, and then he basically feels bad about himself because his parnasa is limited because he doesn't know anything besides Torah. So since he feels bad about himself, he goes and learns the languages of the world. He says this is the rachamim of the Sitra Afra. Because it means you're doing it for a place where you're feeling bad. I mean, you need to try to turn it off. There's another
rachamim. What about Rabbi P was just upset about this guy who wrote his article in the New York Times. The point that he was making was not good. Like, the point he was making was he's saying we need to educate the Haredim so that we can so that they'll become secularized, they'll no longer have a right-wing government in Israel, but right now that they're becoming, they're basically, is money for votes how the system is working right now, and he didn't like that.
Okay.
But at the same time, he's saying that the Haredim are going to get a third world education, right? So there is something, there is a little bit to say about that. You know, obviously we could teach, you know, skills to people so they can have a parnasa. We don't need to teach them like all the shtosim of the world, or so they can have a parnasa. So where is the balance between, you know?
It's a good question. There's a Torah of Torah Misinai is like Mashiach ben Yosef. There's only Torah, nothing else. And then Mashiach ben Yehuda is saying that there's a world, we have to connect to it. So you bring the Torah into the worldly things. That's the machlokes between the things. So each person individually has his own tikkun they have to make. And based on that, God puts them in the right place in the world in order to do that. And that's the bottom line, which means it shouldn't be shut off completely. It's usher to do anything besides Torah, because sometimes you have a charedi guy that his mission lives to be a doctor. So he has to learn medicine one way or another. Like, you can't, even you can learn chulin and Rambam, but, you know, he has to also learn some of the modern things. So that's what he has to do for that. Everyone says it's an individual based situation, but the bottom line is that all the galuses started because people stopped having pleasure in Torah study. So when you open the world up and you say, look, we do Torah, but we also do this subject, this subject, this subject. So a lot of kids get confused and not have the desire to learn Torah as much, and that brings people to Galus.
What about the 12 tribes, Yisachar and Zvulun?
Yeah, so they have a way of doing a bureau, like Zvulun, his way of revaring the 288 sparks was through business. But Yisachar was through Torah study, his was through Chochmah. Everyone has a different path and how they have to go. But ultimately, all the tribes are going to go to the level of Yosef, which it says that the tribes go from Yesh to Ayin, and then Yosef is Ayin Mamish. So at one point, once the Biru is done, which is the 288 sparks, there's another 32 sparks left, which is the Biru of Yosef, which is the Biru of Mashiach, which is basically where everyone already finished the work in this world. Now they're on a level of revelation of Hashem, which is like talking about that those kind of levels here. So that those levels, that's why you hear it's very like more strict. You know, there's no room to mess around. You gotta get to Mashiach now. You know. So let's continue a little bit. Tikol amachshavot sheyesh la'adam kulam ba'im b'toch ha'dibur. All a person's thoughts come into speech, as it says in the Zohar. Rechushei marhashan sif vate. You have a translation of those words over there in English.
His lips whisper.
His lips whisper. Which means you don't feel them coming into your thought, into your speech. It's very, in a very refined way, whatever you're thinking comes in your speech. All the thoughts you have that a person has. All of them must go through your dibor at the moment when you're thinking. But it's a very, very refined and thin kind of way.
Subtle
way, yeah. But again, call asiya she'oseh adam tzicha lavo b'tuch ha'dibur. And then for all the things that you do have to come into speech first. Meaning when it's going from machshava to dibur to maisa, it goes a little bit into the other one. Okay?
Is the implication with having thin machshava, like with the whispers, it seemed almost like it was implying that not the primary mode, like the primary one should be like rich, full of feeling, like with tefillah. Is that the case?
Meaning what? What do you say?
When you're talking to Hashem with tefillah, is the whisper, is that like the primary like recommended way, or
no? This is not going to tefillah. Saying any thought you have has to also go in your speech, but the way it's in your speech is not even known to you. It's so subtle. That's what we're saying. So to an action, it would have to be in your speech too. Everything has to go through machshava divra ma'aseh. Nimta sha'al idei dibur, therefore through your speech, nigbar ma'aseh v'yotzei mikoch hapol. Through your speech, then the action gets fulfilled, because when you speak it, it has to be your action a little bit. And then it goes from koch to pol. Potential to actual. Mikodem sh'yotzei ma'aseh mikoch hapol. But before you bring from potential to actual, tzicha lavo tchila b'chinat Dibur has the first common speech. Al ken kedei lotzi mikoch lapol. Therefore, in order to bring from koch to pol, tzuchin lashlim otut dibur. You must complete the letters of speech. Okay, so if you want something to come on physical, it has to go in the middle of speech first. Therefore, do it in the speech, and then it's going to bring the kalim for it to go down in the physical.
It's a very, very big concept.
It's a huge concept. Yeah, I mean, like, why do you need prayer? Like, God could. Why can't you just like think of stuff, God? I really want this, I need this. Why does he make it that you have to like say all this thing? Like Moshe Rabbeinu had to pray 515 times. And God says, stop, if you do it one more time, I'm going to have to let you go in. Like, what's going on? So the words, they build kelim, and they also bring things into action. So actually, that's the kelim that's being built. It's actually creating an action. And that's why in seeing the story of the Baal Tefillah, that there was like different teams that were playing for the bigger picture to bring Mashiach, but the Baal Tefillah was the only one who used prayer as an action. Like, meaning, as a ishtab, the Ikar Ishtab was the Tefillah. That's the whole Chiddush. Okay, question?
Well, I'm just trying to understand this concept of thought, speech, action. You're saying on like a process level, yeah. Or are you saying it on a physical level? Because I could have a thought, not speak it,
happened a little bit in your speech without you knowing. That's what he's saying.
So what would that look like?
Maybe in your dream you mumble, I don't know. Maybe when you thought it at a certain level of in a spiritual way, whatever your mouth is in the physical moved and said those things.
But you can speak without saying words, but using your lips.
But there's also a makshava related to the dibur. In your mind you could have a level of thought related to speech, like the way you want to say it.
That's considered speaking.
But then that affects your actual levels of speech at a certain very, very, very subtle level you don't even realize that it happens.
I don't think it's so subtle at all. I think it's pretty obvious that whatever you put into your mind is gonna come out your mouth.
No, but he's saying it happens when you think about it.
It's reality.
Right, exactly. And huh? Right? Case in point, right?
No one said.
Okay, so let's just finish this paragraph here. Well, let's see a dibar b'shnei would be mitzar garan. In order to bring this speech from the back of your throat in a complete way, to draw down the points into the letters. Azai kishi yotze hadibur shlemos, when the speech comes out in a complete way, yotze davar mikoch lapol, then the thing comes from koch to poil, and it actualizes. So the speech is the way of actualizing. Okay, think about that. Okay, we're gonna go more into it.
What is that thing called mantras?
There we go.
It's a very, like, powerful tool.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah.